Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. It's Nikki Glaser. It's Tuesday. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm here with Andrew Collin in St. Louis. Marion is in the chair with him. You can see this on our YouTube page. Luigi's in the chair with me. Noah is in Arizona. How's everyone's day going so far?
It's good. I tried to accomplish some that
you
sentence.
You beat me to it.
I know. I'm slow and fast, you know?
You're fast as shit.
But also slow.
You know, like a constipated shit.
One that you took fucking, yeah, I can't even think of the drug.
No, yeah.
That's how quick
opioids.
I am.
Opioids.
Huh?
Opioids.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. So you tried to accomplish things.
Yeah, I tried to go to Men's Warehouse. The manager.
Wait, why? Because you like nice things?
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Men's Warehouse is very fancy.
Isn't that the place where it's like, because you like nice things?
Oh, really?
Oh, no, that's the jewel. That's the.
Jacob?
No, that's the jeweler place at the corner of I-270 and Fairvoy. Gravoy. It's, yeah, this guy is in every town, but he makes it sound like he's just local.
Oh.
You have a friend in the diamond business. The Shane Company. The Shane Company.
Oh, I've never.
No, Men's Warehouse is because you like nice things.
Well, I do, as you know.
God, did you ever see the SNL sketch where they make fun of the Men's Warehouse where it's like 7 suits for $13 and they're just suits that they sell as rags to clean things up? Like, you can use them in your kitchen to mop up spills, and it's just because it's just...
Well, yeah, that's what I was looking for.
So you went to Men's Warehouse.
Whoa, accomplished. Old stuttery mouth.
You went to the Men's Warehouse.
Yeah. I window gets rolled down. Some lady's like, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. I was like, I have no money. They're like, no, Men's Warehouse is closed. Manager didn't show up. Not till 11:45.
What do you mean the window gets rolled down? I'm so confused.
When she was in her car, I guess she was an employee at Men's Warehouse.
Oh, and you were walking in.
Yeah, and the manager has the key, I assume.
Yeah.
So
they're
supposed to open at 10.
Yeah.
11:30.
How great is it when you show up to work and, like, work's not open?
Oh. That is nice.
So Noah, was it Noah who, maybe, no, it was Jen, my assistant. Last night I was supposed to have like an eight, I saw on my schedule, there was like an 8:30 a.m. Zoom interview where I had to be on camera. And I wrote her last night to be like, hey, is this like, is this on camera just because, but it's just going to be audio. We're just doing it on Zoom just to see each other. Or is this, do I have to look nice? And she was like, oh shit, I forgot to take that off your calendar. That's canceled. She was like, so sorry. And I was like, no, it's so much better when I think, when I'm prepared for it and then it goes away. I'd rather that than have it not be there.
Even if
at
you're
all.
Getting dressed up, put makeup on.
No, but it was the night before.
Oh, okay.
So I was just anticipating it. And then all of a sudden, a cancel
plan.
But
how close can a cancel get to until you're not happy?
When I'm putting on makeup.
Yeah. But then you have makeup on for something else.
No, because then I want to go back to bed and I don't want to get it all over my pillow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do
so you
get
men's
a physical response? Well, just quickly.
Yeah.
When you get the news like that, do you get like a physical response? Like
yeah, I come.
For me, it's a tingling.
Same thing.
John Mulaney had a bit about canceled plans and he was like, it's the closest I'll ever get to doing heroin. The feeling that you get when something you don't want to do cancels.
And then he did
And then
heroin.
He did heroin and goes, let me take that back.
Yeah, let me take that back. Have you ever done heroin and got your plans canceled?
I could see that joke spinning in your head because as soon as I said it, I was like, man, finish our sentence. We're pretty good at that. Okay, so
oh, and then I went to pick up a dress at a tailor for Brenna for the wedding. It was supposed to be done today. I get there. There's like, you know that little clock that like small, you know, small companies.
Yes, where they go back in five.
Another company's, another
back
business supposed to be open at 10, 11:30.
I love
I'm
that.
Like, what is going
on? I like when people go, no, we're just going, I'm going out for coffee. I get to shut down the shop.
Yeah, just for 6 hours, just for 6 days.
Yeah.
It's fine. And then she showed up. I waited. I was eating food in the car waiting. And, I go up there and I was like, is the dress ready? She's like, oh, no, it's not. Like, so casual.
I hate when they act like it's not something that they need. Like when you, you know, it's like when you order at a restaurant and you go, when you order the meal, you go, and I want, and I would love like that extra dressing on the side. You say some annoying thing and then they don't bring it. And you just casually go like, oh, can I get that ranch on the side, that extra? And they go, oh, yeah, I can get that for you. And it's like, no, you don't act like this is a new thought. You forgot it. And you go, oh, no, I forgot. Like,
Nikki, they're understaffed.
That is fine. But just acknowledge that you know that I already said it. Don't gaslight me into being like, this is a novel.
No,
thing
I know. I know. I had that the other day. And then you go, then you start eating your food. And I asked for
well, you do. Like I will wait until
a side of queso or something to dip, you know, or something, or a sour cream.
That's you. You will ask for this thing that makes it essential to you.
Yes.
But if you don't get it, you'll still eat the
I'll
thing.
I'll nibble a little, and then the bites
then,
will get bigger.
No then, one eats faster than Andrew and I. We are the fastest eaters.
Tim Dillon, very fast eater. I can't keep up.
Ah, man.
He
I
wins.
Mean,
yeah, he wins that.
I don't think anyone does. Because you will eat before the food has been
you know what
prepared.
It is I think growing up I didn't want to be at the dinner table so I ate as fast as possible and then I just went to my room and I remember my dad being a doctor he's like that's not good for you and I was like you're not good for me
yeah
no I didn't oh I didn't say God. That no I didn't say that I didn't
say that. I know I quote David like, Spade all the time but I heard a great thing the other day I was watching like old clips and it reminded me exactly of what you just said about your dad he went to He was telling Letterman, like, I don't know, it was maybe 10 years ago that he went to go. He brought his dad with him who abandoned him when he was four. And his dad's back in his life and just like kind of like a guy that talks like this. And he's like, come on, Davey, you know what it be. Like, he's always just like surfer dude kind of energy. And he's talked about him on David Letterman a lot. Letterman gets a kick out of his dad. He's had him on the show. And so he's like, how's your dad doing? He's like, oh, you know, the other day we went to go visit a friend of mine in the hospital. She just had a baby and I'm holding the baby and my dad's like, look at him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's never done it. He goes, oh, really? And he was like, what if I put him on the floor and left? That's like you did to me. Is that, would that be the better way to do it? And he goes, I waited till you were four. You can handle it.
I waited till you were four is the best line.
It's so funny.
I just picture him going like, yeah.
Oh my God.
It is funny. Like a surfer dude being your dad. He's like, what dude? Like chill.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get mad at that guy if he's so chill about leaving you. You know what I mean? Like, if I did something terrible to you, I was like, Nikki, dude, I was out.
It's all good, baby girl. Yeah. 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 It is nice. It's a nice little trick.
You want your sour cream, dude? I'm sorry, bro.
Rape schmape, baby.
Rape schmape. Rhyming anything is so great. Murder turder, dude.
So Brenna's not getting the dress.
No, she is. So now that she said it'll be ready at 4:30. So
okay.
You know,
Can you pause right there and just be more specific about this wedding, because you just kind of glossed over it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, Hannah Burner.
Okay, so we have this wedding that we're going to in the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's Hannah Burner from Summer House, our friend. She's getting married to Des Bishop. Another marriage that's, 18 years apart? Mm. She was 28, 29.
Didn't we just look up his age?
Yeah, he's 46. So 17, maybe. Anyhow.
She's 20. No, she's 30, right?
Maybe she is 30 at this point. So, anyways, long story short, me and Brenna both wait till the last second to get things for a wedding.
Doesn't sound like it. I mean, you're leaving on Thursday. It's Tuesday.
No, some people get ready. Some people handle this shit 3 months
in advance. Well, I can't stand people who pack for trips like 2 weeks in advance. My mom does that. She's like, I'm all packed up. And I'm like, you're not leaving for 3 months. Ready She's to like, go? Later, EJ, later. Start packing. He goes, you just throw clothes in a bag.
That's what I do. So, no, I went to this soup place. They're like, yeah, you want to? I was like, they're like, when's the wedding? I go, I don't know, 13 days. They're like, whoa, you might want to try about 3 months, man. I'm like, who the fuck?
No.
Also, I can't buy a suit off the shelf because of my fucking centaur body or minotaur. I don't know what I am. Am I meno or cinna?
Cinnabon?
I'll eat it.
Quick.
Fast. Slow.
Yeah, I'm going to a wedding or like a wedding reception on
Saturday.
What
are you wearing? Do you know?
Yeah, I will tell you, buying things on Poshmark or The RealReal, which are, you know, reusable or like, you know, resale clothing, they get it to you so much faster than any, you know, retail shop. Mm-hmm. Like I was saying the other day, these women that go to the post office that do eBay and stuff, they know how to fucking send a package right away. They want to get that money, and so they are not getting the money until it's shipped. And so
I'm always nervous to buy from a third party because I feel they're going to take forever.
They know people who are selling their stuff online, it's the fastest I've ever had stuff in my life because they deal so much with, like, my mom has sold stuff on eBay and just having people complain, like, if anything is slightly wrong. Like, there's a piece of fuzz on it. They want any reason to... People love complaining.
I've never complained like that in my life.
I know. It's just ridiculous to me. But so many consumers... I mean, anyone who works in the consumer...
Oh my God.
Customer service knows how awful people are.
Yeah.
And how nitpicky. And they focus on these things because they hate their lives. And they just need to have control over something that they don't. Yes. And so... yeah, I mean, so I ordered four dresses off Poshmark. One's $46, the other was $41. The one was like $295 because I went steep on that one because it's really nice. And then I accidentally ordered another one too that was like $295. But asked you where
you
Brenna
glossed
got
over
her,
that quick last $295.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
wait, is it the same dress, different size, or like?
No, it was a different style. But I asked you what Brenna was wearing to the wedding because I was like, what do you even wear to weddings? Like, I don't know where you. And you said that she got a dress at Reformation. So then when I looked up that on Poshmark, they're so expensive compared to other dresses, which is fine, but they are very cute. And so I got
two
Reformations.
So out of the four, are you going to decide the day of, day before, or do
you
know?
I'm just going to try them all on.
Okay.
I'm going to start with the one I like best. I'm not going to try them all on. If the one I like best is the first one, I'll just keep it. I'm not someone who likes trying on things, but I'll keep the other ones for other weddings I try to get out of.
Yeah, I've never done Poshmark or RealReal. I would check that out. Is it guy stuff too?
Yeah, dude. They have everything. RealReal, yeah, it has guy stuff. It's all like RealReal's designer.
It's like Poshmark, one of those things where I go, you know, I've never done it. And then 3 months later, I'll be like, so I bought
fucking
a Q-tip.
Belt, like, instead of, I don't buy anything retail anymore. It's just contributing to the trash of the world. Just get upcycled things. So many things are brand new. And they're cool because you can't find them everywhere. And you feel really special. You put your sizes into Poshmark, so everything you search is only coming up if it's your size. So
now, have you ever got something and it looks like dog shit?
Yes.
Oh.
But it's cheap, and it's like, I just, you know, give it
like
to my mom to sell for me.
Like ripped or just doesn't look like or
no,
fit
like?
No,
nothing ever is like bad quality. If anything, it's always better than you think because these people know they don't want to deal with returns. I mean, these are people like, you know, selling out of their homes. So they're not going to lie to you about stuff. But I did I have this guy in Vancouver who does this vintage shop. I think it's like Van City Vintage or something like that. But he is always on the lookout for Taylor Swift and like Britney Spears and like old pop star vintage stuff. He gave me that Taylor Swift shirt I wore on the podcast yesterday, actually. That shirt goes for $1,000 on eBay. And I paid, I think, 100 something bucks for it. But yesterday he goes, hey, my friend, because he's in connections with all vintage
people. Opposite of the guitar you bought.
Yeah, right.
This is a great deal. You said you never gotten a deal. That's a deal.
I was going to say that yesterday, but I'm never going to resell it.
Okay.
You know, like, I'm not doing it to be like, oh, someday I'm going to cash in. Like, that is, I'm going to give it to my, like, niece. I was going to say daughter, but that ain't happened anytime
soon. For 200. You got to make something.
Yeah. She's got to learn about capitalism.
Yeah.
Somehow. So anyway, this guy wrote me yesterday being like, hey, check this out. It was a Britney Spears perfectly faded black tee that almost has like a crop to it, but oversized. Like, you know what?
What a great shirt.
Remakes of shirts are trying to be like when they try to recreate
the
vintage?
The best shirt.
A thick like collar, like from 2000. It's her on the steps with her hands in between her legs, like looking sad, like the classic pose. And $145, and I was like, "Ugh, am I gonna spend $145 for a fucking great shirt that has a couple little bleach stains on the bottom, but that maybe adds coolness to it?" And I go, "I don't know." And I go, "See if your friend can give me a deal, and I'll shout him out on my Instagram if he wants to knock off like even $10." I was like trying to get a deal. I never get deals, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
you know what?
What is going on over there? Getting deals?"
Well, because actually, I can give back. Like people should know about. I love following vintage shops on Instagram with these vintage tees because sometimes something comes up where you go, "Oh my god, that's the team I love," or that's the specific, like you know, soul decision. Like no one has a soul decision shirt. That's hilarious, and so. Think about making my move tonight. Ask for $10 off my shirt and holding my body tight. Because I like the way you're making me move. He said, it was so funny. Is the shirt's $145? He goes, I'll ask. He asked his friend, he goes, he can do it for $150 with shipping included. And I go, how did the price go up? What? I know he gave me a discount on shipping, but somehow it went up. And for some reason, I'm like, I want to do it. I got it.
You know what it is, honestly, to me, in my stupid brain?
Yeah.
$145 sounds more than $150. I don't know why.
It's too many numbers.
Yeah, there's it's more numbers. There's more numbers
in there.
More
syllables?
Yeah.
Well, that's why Walgreens prices things like $14.99 because $15 seems more, so much
well,
more.
Well, that'd
people.
Be the opposite.
Oh, yeah, it'd be the opposite.
But still, yeah, that's all.
I want
to get
I want
to
do it.
Yeah, get it.
Yeah, but it seems stupid.
You don't spend a lot, like, you spend money on clothes.
Starbucks. If I add it up,
I've never
I do
seen
Starbucks,
you buy.
I just went to Starbucks, by the way, for my second coffee. And she goes, didn't I already make this drink today? And I go, yeah, in front of everyone, very loud. I go, I have a problem. And she goes, it's okay, girl. And I was like, it's not. A venti latte, no one needs two of those within 3 hours. Except old glazed dog.
Well, look. Your drug dealer ain't gonna fucking stop you.
No. Oh, caffeine is not one. Is not a drug. That
I went to
anyone.
I went. I went to J. Crew because they have suits ready.
Mm-hmm.
None of them fit me. Your boy's too thick.
Yeah.
I'm too thick for J. Crew.
You are
thick crew.
You know, I just did that rental site that the bestie recommended, and they were asking about body shapes. So, like, are you a pear? Are you an apple? Are you an inverted triangle? Are you a square? Are you an hourglass? It's like, what girl doesn't want to be an hourglass out of all of those?
Yeah.
I'm
an amoeba.
But you were an inverted triangle. But tiny hips.
Yes.
Wide shoulders.
Yeah. So nothing fits me. And then, I don't know. I have this, like, you know how I'm a little obsessed with Ray Donovan, how he dresses?
Yes. The guy that you look like.
Yeah.
Ray Donovan or just Liv?
Actually, his character.
Okay, his character. That makes sense. So, they have a wardrobe department.
He wears a watch that I am obsessed with, but I won't convince myself to buy unless I make more money to wear. Because I've already done this before where I spend money on a watch.
But the watch was the only investment that you made that was good. Remember?
Yeah, that's true. So there's.
How much is this? Can I guess?
I can't even say it.
$11,900.
Okay, it's not that bad.
Oh, okay.
But thank you for going high.
$1,900.
$5,100. It's an Omega Professional Seamaster 300. It's not a Rolex. It looks like a Rolex. It's just a perfect watch for me.
Why you want it?
Should we do it after break?
Yeah. Let's go to break and find out why Andrew wants a watch when he has an iPhone. I do want to know. I know they're like jewelry for men.
Yes.
Maybe that's it. It's a status symbol. But you already have like a hot girlfriend.
I know.
What?
What propels men to keep trying after they already have the hottest girlfriend that anyone could ever have? Let's find out after this quick break.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
We're back. Okay, why the watch? Why the watch?
Okay, so this watch I love. It's an Omega as well.
The one that you're wearing, yes.
The one I'm wearing. It's Omega Constellation. It's from like 1972. It's my Grandpa Marvin's watch.
You got it.
It was given to me by my Aunt Nancy. She kept the nicer one, the nicer four.
She probably deserves it. I mean, it was her dad.
Whatever. Who's counting?
Yeah.
She is. And I am. Quick. Slow. Turtle. Rabbit.
Wait, what was the word that you didn't finish?
Triangle.
No. The one at the beginning. Accomplished. After.
So, So she gave me this. It was very nice, honestly. It was very nice to get this. I was extremely excited. Yes. I really wanted a watch because I feel like a watch, like a simple watch like this, any outfit you wear, it kind of
elevates it.
Yeah, it elevates it a little without trying too hard.
That's a common thing for women as well. Like you can wear like sweats and like a oversized t-shirt, like a Britney Spears, like vintage t-shirt, and then you wear a nice sandal or like a nice shoe, yes, like a heel, or you wear like layered
or
jewelry or jewelry,
yeah,
and it dresses it up. And so I get that. Okay.
This watch, although it's
what are these socks? Where did you get those? That's a statement.
These socks.
Okay, he's wearing gray socks that say Calvin Klein in black all over them. Like he's a little label boy.
No one labels Calvin Klein.
Yeah, Calvin Klein's this isn't, cool.
It's not
Justin
fancy.
Bieber. Okay. I wear Calvin Klein underwear.
Yeah, no one knows Calvin Klein socks. I didn't know it was written all over. I just bought dress socks for like $14 on Amazon, and I see why they're $14.
Oh yeah,
they're
insane. They're
and I'm wearing the shoes. These shoes are nice.
Those are slippers.
But I'm wearing them just to grind out the bottom, yeah, so I don't fall at the wedding.
I did.
I was grinding up in the garage.
I was worried about my shoes for the wedding because I want to be able to. All I want to do is dance because yes. Emma, my boyfriend's brother's wife, they got married 2 years ago, I think, but it was during COVID and they had a reception and not a lot of people could come, so they're throwing a second one. It's going to be just a reception. That's what I'm going to this weekend. She wrote me and was like, they have a really good wedding band, like they performed at the last one and they said that it was just like insane how good they were. And she was like, I told them I put in a couple requests that I think you're going to be excited about. And I was like, yes, girl. So I want to dance to some Taylor Swift so bad. And so I was buying shoes with that in mind.
I'm looking forward to dancing, too, at this wedding.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to dance.
I don't dance ever anymore. And I miss it.
So yeah. Fun.
So back to the watch. So the watch, great watch. It constantly breaks down. So it's essentially a bracelet. Like right now, the second
hand really
isn't working.
Use it to look for the time when it does work.
Not
or
really.
Do you look,
I use my phone. So it doesn't really matter.
You don't really need it to work.
But yeah. It's like you calling out my Calvin Klein. Someone sometime will go, dude, your watch is 145.
Yeah, you need it to work in case someone calls you out for it.
Which never happens except for once, maybe every 4 months. Yes. So anyways, so that's another reason why I want a more functional watch.
So you have an excuse for why you're wearing it.
Yes. And so I'm kind of have a weird obsession with wanting it, but I know I think I deserve it. I just don't want to spend that much money on it.
It's
also,
so
I found
money.
One on Facebook on Marketplace for $3,000, which is still
check
too
out
expensive.
Real Real. They have tons of watches.
Yeah.
They're Rolex Central. And like
oh, really?
Nice. Oh, yeah. Real Real is
Rolex,
all
Rolex.
Rolex. I mean, Real Real, you go in there, there's things for $20,000 for sale. They do furniture.
Oh.
They just it's all designer. And then it goes down to like, you know, $20 for an Alexander Wang t-shirt that was probably like $88 to begin with. So like you get awesome deals on there, but they do have luxury items that are like, who the fuck?
Well, there's a guy in St. Louis who has the exact watch I want, but it's from 2018, but it's the same model.
Check Priceless too.
And he wants like $3,800. So that would be a difference in $1,400.
That's definitely worth. And used is cooler than new. So much cooler.
Yeah. He has the box and everything. He
yeah,
lives
dude.
Here. I can make
don't ever buy anything new if you can get it like new, cheaper. Just stop
it is funny.
This.
Have you ever shopped for something that nice though? Because
yeah, guitars.
I didn't want to buy it. Like I knew I wanted to buy it, but I didn't think I was gonna buy like
yeah,
but
now
they
you're
try
like,
to convince you and
Vince.
And then you Vaughn. And so you try to like finagle it in a way like I'm into it. I have the money. But also, is there a payment plan? But also, I don't need the payment plan. I could walk out of here. Right? Like, you want, like, because you don't want them to judge you either, even though, like, it doesn't matter.
No, payment plans are helpful for people, even if you do have the money.
So there's a 12-month payment plan, so it would be like $500 a month. But that's every month, I'd be like, the watch would depreciate in what I care about it.
Yeah.
And then I'd be keep paying money.
That's tough. Is that a purchase that you talked to Brenna about? Or is it like.
No, I wouldn't. Unless I.
But she'll see it eventually and go, how much was that?
Yeah.
Do you lie?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, even there is some like sometimes when like I have friends that complain about money or something and then they buy something and I go, well, you're never allowed to complain. We're going to any restaurant I want from now on, even though I will always pick up the bill. But like you don't get to complain about things if you're buying this thing that is so truly worthless. You don't get to complain about like my insurance is this a month. Like, no. So there's a little bit of that where you don't get away. But, you know, I have things like that in my life, too, where I'm a complete hypocrite. Because I have this thing, I don't know if anyone relates. I think probably everyone does, actually, where...
Can I tell you? Can I stop you real quick?
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. I think you might.
No, I definitely will. No, I don't think you've ever said anything I don't relate to.
I think you actually might not, but I don't know what this is. I am pretty generous when it comes to money generally, and as with myself, with others. There are times, though, if you catch me on like a bad day where I feel, again, we're going back to customer service, feeling out of control, having things in my life that are unmanageable, like I'm stressed out, where I will focus on my money. I'll go to my money and go, oh, God, if this Rent the Runway stuff, I haven't even worn it, and I'm just like spending $300 a month on this. Like, I'm so worthless. Like, all of a sudden, I start picking at the minorest things where I'm like, oh my God, like I just ordered the wrong Starbucks thing. That's $3 extra. Like little charges, dude. Little ones that I'm just like, what is going on here? Because I just bought a $1,500 guitar last week on a whim that I'm never going to play. There's sometimes where I'm just crazy with money, and other times where 15 cents extra, I start getting so scared and I start like writing my business manager like, I need to know how much I'm spending a month on this. I did it like, and yes, nothing's changed. It's not like I lost a job. It's not like I suddenly learned something financially. It's just, it's so interesting when you examine what is causing this. Like I saw this awesome thing on Instagram yesterday that it was this black woman, and I say that because it's pertinent to the story, where she was talking about, it was on one of those like feel good Instagram reposts from TikTok. It was this black woman that was talking about how she talks to her daughter about anger when her daughter has like a fit or something. And what she says, because she grew up a black woman that was like, when she would get angry, it was like, no, put on a happy face. Don't do that. You know, shaming about anger. And then as she grows older, very scared of being the angry black woman, having any attitude. I mean, it's just so much exponentially more fraught for black women than white women. But now there's the Karen thing. You don't want to be a Karen. Anger is just, whether you're boy or girl, scary to deal with. But I sent it to my sister, and I also posted it on my Instagram, and I said that I want to use this method on myself, because what she does when her daughter's having a fit is she gets on her level, and she goes, and I don't do that baby talk. I talk to her like a person, and I say, what is your anger trying to tell you right now? What is this? What is, because there's something, there's a siren going off. It's not about the spilled juice. It's not about you're spending $15 extra on a subscription service that you don't use, and now you're beating yourself. What is it? And it's very interesting, like, that she said that, and I shared it with my sister. I loved it. And so I think now I just try to, when I start going to the places that I generally go to, my weight, my the color of my skin, honestly, like trying to tan myself, like I can, if I'm pale on a day where I'm feeling insecure in other ways, I will focus on that and be obsessed with it and be like, you're disgusting. Like I just and so I just try now to like catch it. But then I also heard, and this might help people too, I've been really interested in binge eating disorder, because obviously I've struggled with that in the past. I've been bulimic. I've been all those, you know, I'd starve myself and then I would binge and blah, blah, blah. So it's been 2 years since I've like binged, but I still feel a little bit out of control with food at times. And I've also been, I have a girl that I've met through eating disorder recovery stuff who, she struggles with binging. She listens to the show. She's a bestie. Like she found me through recovery, but she didn't know that who I was or anything. I'm anonymous in those situations. And we started talking like a while before I was like, before we talked about like our personal lives, what we do. And I think one day she was talking about something and I go, actually, I did a podcast today. I think what I talked about will actually help you. She's like, wait, you what? You did a podcast? Like, what do you do? So now we've become friends. She's a big bestie. Every time she writes me now about stuff, she'll be like, I know this is or she's like, I know, and ham drip. Like she'll, it's really cute. And she told me that I could talk about her on the show. So I want to just give a shout out to my friend Amy. But she, I've been trying to, she shares with me about her binging and things like that and how out of control it feels. And I just don't relate to that as much. So I'm trying to be a good friend and learn more about it. And also for myself, I feel a little out of control sometimes. So I've been listening to this podcast on YouTube called Brain Over Binge. And I love this approach to treating your any, it's pretty much the approach that I use for alcohol, cigarettes, all the things I've quit in my life. Because for binge disorder or kind of eating disorders, you always go, what's really going on? It's your childhood trauma. It's because you have low self-esteem. It's always like, it's not about the food. It's about you're broken inside. And you got to fix that stuff before the binging will stop. But the truth is, much like cigarette companies, much like alcohol, companies, they gain from making it seem like the thing that you're doing is hard to quit. If the story is cigarettes are hard to quit, then you won't quit because we all want to feel like it's not our fault that we keep doing this thing. And if you give them a reason to go, I can't quit smoking, it's hard to quit. So if you don't know, William Moore, like tobacco companies spread the propaganda of cigarette smoking is hard to quit. It's such a hard addiction when really it is a very, very like small withdrawal
reverse
symptom.
Psychology.
So you would think that that's not them spreading that, but it is because it's actually very easy to quit. Same with alcohol. The withdrawal symptoms are definitely more severe. You can literally die from alcohol withdrawal symptoms. But again, the perpetuation of like, there's something wrong. This is the only thing you can turn to. You're an alcoholic. You have a disease. This is terrible. So this podcast I'm obsessed with because I've never heard this approach with eating disorder stuff. And I just want to share because I know a lot of besties have this. Is that they say on this thing, this girl just went through, she used to be binger bulimic, and she does this podcast with another woman named Cookie, ironically. So she keeps going, so you don't need to reach for the bag of cookies. Cookie, what do you think about that? Like, it's just so funny. But
she's like, rah, 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 rah.
This podcast is awesome because I'm only on episode 4 because I'm really trying to take my time and learn it.
Andrew.
Fast, slow.
That is really good.
So
what she's saying in it that I can glean from it is awesome. And I want to like disseminate this to the masses because I think it's so important is that whenever I overeat or whenever I starve myself or whenever I would be bulimic back in the day, there was something where I knew it was not about the food, not about throwing up. It was something deeper, childhood trauma, low self-esteem, whatever the story is, which is all true, by the way. That is true. But the why you binge, why you purge is really because your lower brain, which is like your animal brain that I talk about on stage, the one that's like get everything pregnant, like your brain that is operating like a caveman, is deprived of food probably because you've been starving all day because you feel like you're susceptible to diet culture. So you're restricting. So that brain is going, next time you fucking get around food, eat the fuck out of it because we don't know when you're going to have food next. So that little voice is saying that. And also that voice and then your higher brain, which knows better, knows that there's tons of food to be had. You don't need to eat all of this right now. Your higher brain takes that cue and makes it into a story of, but I have trauma. I have a disease. I'm weak. This is very hard. And I honestly think that eating disorder centers, although they do great work, and I do think most of the people that work for them are trying to get people better, I think it is a moneymaker. If you don't get people better, they keep coming back. If you keep them sick, and so I think making it like you need to have treatment as opposed to really this woman used to binge and purge every single day of her life, multiple times, horrible bulimia, which can kill you like that. I mean, it killed Amy Winehouse. People don't know that. People think she died of drugs. It was bulimia. It really is about just hearing that little caveman voice of that is the same one that goes, fuck that girl. Like that girl's tits, like suck on her tits. Like you would if you were a caveman, you would just go, fuck that girl.
Yeah.
It's taking that voice and going, shut the fuck up. Like, I know you're just a dumb monkey, my monkey brain talking. Yeah. And it's literally just going. And so now when I have the voice last time, like I've been recently like waking up in the middle of the night and like just needing to eat because it's like I'm probably thirsty. And so a lot of times your hunger is thirst. And I also just have been anxious more. So I get up in the middle of the night and I'm not binging 17 protein bars like back in the day, but I'll have two and I'll eat them at the kitchen table. But I'm sliding back into this like behavior. So that's why I think I'm being vigilant about it. But what I learned is that voice that goes, you need to have this food. You're struggling. This is your comfort. You have a disease. You are bulimic. You are anorexic. Your eating disorder is really me making excuses so I get to do this thing that I want to do that really isn't what I want to do. Because if I wanted to do it, she says at one point, if you thought binging and purging or starving yourself, whatever it is, if you wanted to do it, why are you listening to this podcast? It's literally ruining your life. So you don't listen to a 18 series podcast about quitting something if there's any reason to keep that in your life. They're just, that's, so I, last night for the first time, like, it didn't even occur to me to do. I woke up in the middle of the night and I without question, always just go and grab two protein bars and I just eat them at my table. This time I was just like, I answered that voice in my head the way I compare it to when I'm with Arlo or something and he wants to like hold a knife or something. Something that I would never let him play with a knife. Like, let's compare it to that. Like, it's just not going to happen. I know you want it so bad and you're going to cry and out of context, you're crying. People would be like, give that boy what he needs. He's on the floor, throwing himself around. I mean, it sounds like he needs sustenance, but I know, no, he wants a knife. That's insane. He's not getting it. That's your voice telling you to drink, to binge, to do these behaviors. It's literally a dumb little child that wants to play with a knife where you are a babysitter and you go, no, I'm not even going to entertain it. I'm going to ignore this. Like, yeah. I might go, oh, that's cute. Like, but I'm putting it up on the shelf. It's not, there's not even like, because I think when you have that voice of like, should I drink tonight? Should I do whatever? Should I cut myself? Whatever it is you're struggling with, there's a negotiation that happens where you go, no, I can't, but I really want to, but I can't. No, don't do it. It doesn't need to be that. It literally can be, no. It's as much of a dismissal.
Stop it as quick as
you wouldn't
possible.
Consider giving a child a knife. Like, well, let me hear him out. You can dismiss that voice as much as a child begging for a knife. So every time I hear, Nikki, eat more when I know that I don't need to, I'm now going to just say it's a child asking for ice cream when he hasn't eaten anything nutritious in days. There's no way you're
exactly
getting it.
What my mindset was with the watch, driving to the mall, thinking about the watch, wanting it, needing it, think it's going to fill
debating,
a void.
Saying, debating, saying, no, I can't. Yes, I can. Yeah. That struggle, it feels like an accomplishment when you go when you choose either way. And sometimes you're going to choose the wrong way.
But stop
and
the
it's
struggle.
Still going to feel like an accomplishment, which it doesn't need to. You can just...
You know a little thing I did to help? Because I'll do that too. I'll like float to the refrigerator in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And I don't even know how I'm in there. And I'm just all of a sudden eating ham naked.
Yes.
Well, with a shirt on. But I take a Yeti, like a giant Yeti, and I fill it with like a quarter OJ mango and a water and just have a giant fucking Yeti right next to my bed. So
water is so cruche or some kind of...
I'm telling you, I haven't done it. A lot of it, like you said, it's thirst.
It's always thirst in the middle of the night.
So I just fucking chug it, and it's big enough where I could chug it like 15 times. So I'm getting that, like, I am getting that feeling of like, quenched.
Yes.
Which I get from food, which would feel the same feeling, but it's obviously
healthier.
Well,
if you wait afterwards, after you chug water and you just wait, and you just go back to bed for, give yourself, listen to one song, listen, read one page of a book. And if you still want to eat after that, go eat. Fucking let yourself eat.
Yeah.
But the truth is that you're probably dehydrated. And also when I used to binge, I had a woman that was helping me with my problems of night binging. And she, one night, you know, when I had to start not binging at night, which was like the old, I couldn't imagine not binging it. Like it just was the thing I'd done every day for the last few years of my life. So it was like, what the fuck am I, I'm going to sleep through the night. It's just not, it's not even going to happen. And I was crying about it. And she goes, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you start struggling, just remember no one's ever died of starvation if they waited till breakfast. It really is not an urgent thing. You're not going to die. The feelings are not going to kill you. No one's ever died of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that somehow resonates with me too. I say sometimes to myself in the middle of the night, you do not need to eat right now. You are not running a marathon. You are not actually starving. You ate all day. Now it's different if you're not eating all day. That is the source of your binging. If you are restricting during the day, you will binge. It will happen. So that's the first thing you got to fix. But I just found it very comforting to hear an approach to eating disorders that is just as simple as how I've approached quitting drinking and cigarettes, which is like, you're lying to yourself acting like this is hard. It's not that hard. You can do it.
I think to your point though, like the indulging obviously feels so fucking good. And then
but it feels good for
fighting,
2 bites.
The fighting.
Doesn't the last bite of your binge feel terrible?
But you know what I mean, though? You miss the fighting. Like, you miss that argument.
Something
else will come up. Because it makes you feel alive a little bit.
So you'll get in a fight with your girlfriend or your boyfriend.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
I'm not saying to do it. I'm just saying, like, that's like that fighting feels like the indulgence. It's the same kind of feeling.
Yeah, we get off on it. It's part of the drug.
Yeah.
So, but don't engage the little child in, that's wanting the knife in your head, because that all those things, it's as dumb of an, it's as dumb of a need as a child being like, I want to play with that knife. You would never give a baby a knife. So don't give yourself those that monkey brain that's going, me, I'm not going to get food for a while. You know better. Your smart brain will know. So the podcast I want to turn you to is Brain Over Binge, brain over binging. And it's just really helped me. And I just want to like let her, because everyone fucking deals with eating issues. I know there's maybe one person that's like, this doesn't relate to anything in my life. I guarantee you, you send it to your mom, she probably relates. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first.
Oh, man, it's Tuesday, folks. You know what that means. It is Tuesday. Hope you're having all the swells. If you're driving somewhere, going to buy something that you don't need, or you're going to eat something you don't want, stop right there and tell your child brain to go fuck itself and give it a knife
eat
and have
it
kill
itself.
Eat if
you need to eat. Oh. Eat during the day, three meals a day. Oh, eat yeah. when you're hungry, but you know better when you're overdoing it. Yes. Have dessert if you want. Treat yourself, but you know when you're eating on top, when it's going to make you sick. That's what I'm talking about. You having fun with Marion over there?
But give your kid a knife.
Yeah, give your kid a knife. Noah.
Noah, back to you now over there in the studio and in headquarters over there.
In Tucson.
Nikki and Andrew will not be on tour this weekend. They'll both be at weddings. But the following weekend, on Friday, you guys will be at the Wilbur in Boston.
Oh, my God. Two shows at the Wilbur, everyone. Yeah.
And then Foxwoods Resort Casino in Connecticut on Saturday.
Very excited about the Foxwoods show. That one, I believe, is sold out. There might be single. Really?
We don't want to check. I don't know.
You know, as always, single tickets. If you want to go alone to a show, if you buy a single ticket and you write me, my account, Nikki Glaser, not Nikki Glaser Pod. If you write going alone in all caps, your name and the show you're going to, no other information. I know you're grateful. You don't need to write thank you and all this stuff. The best way for me to see it is to make sure the first part says going alone in all caps. Otherwise, I might miss it. And then if I heart it, that means your name will be at the box office and you will be good to go for a meet and greet, which always proceeds the show. And yeah, there we go. What's the first news headline, Noah?
First news line is crazy. A woman who was pronounced dead opened her eyes and pushed the coffin door in the middle of
no.
her own funeral.
I no.
mean, come on. What?
Wait, where?
This was in Peru.
It's always in... I knew it was going to be somewhere.
I mean, she had to go through so much. She had to be dead. Like, you don't get in the coffin for
Tell
a few days.
Tell us details of this. What's going on here?
Okay, the mourners carrying her coffin heard a strange knocking sound from inside. The woman was actually alive and found to be gasping for air when the coffin was placed on the ground. After
okay,
she
this
observed...
Okay, this is why you don't get cremated.
Yeah. She was cremated, and then 2 hours after, she's still yelling. My leg.
It's wait. Hot in here.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, can I? We go. How
My skin's
long
ashy.
She, how long did
can
they
I
think
lotion?
She? Yeah,
I'm very ashy. Ma'am, you're all ashes.
I had a joke about something not being funny at a roast. Going, I wanted to only cremate my ears.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, go ahead. Sorry.
So after her, you know, she observed everyone at the funeral. The family took her to the hospital where they had difficulty finding signs of life, putting her on life support until she died a couple of hours later.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, yeah.
We need so Tyler she, Henry.
The family essentially had to say goodbye twice, and some of the family members believe a coma may have been improperly diagnosed as death because she was in a bad car accident.
Oh.
And apparently, this happens to apparently. Several people.
Every year.
Last year, a man pronounced dead after being hit by a motorcycle woke up in a morgue freezer. A 76-year-old woman who was pronounced dead following a COVID-19 diagnosis woke up right before her cremation.
Oh my God. Okay, well, just check the pulse. This is a lesson to us all. Can I say though that I've been getting besties writing me about Tyler Henry, or maybe just people that don't even listen to the pod, and they are also being converted to believing there's an afterlife because of this fucking Netflix show. It's so wild that everything else that has been trying your whole life to get you to believe in an afterlife, all the religion, all the propaganda, none of that works. One Netflix series where you watch this guy where you're like, this kid doesn't want to be famous. He's not doing this to trick anyone. He's just a sweet gay kid. You go, this is too uncanny. I watched him on a Matt Lauer interview on the Today Show before Matt Lauer was canceled. He didn't see that coming, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But it was it must have been the week before, because Matt Lauer, this is still on the Today Show page. Watch that interview, you guys. I cried because Matt Lauer is a skeptic, of course, and he's going into this interview with him. And he starts talking about his father being proud of him and like little things that he just only would know about his dad. And you just see him, his journalistic, like, you know, wall just crumbling. And also there's one with Hoda and one with Jenna Bush. Hoda sobs in such a sweet way. And it catches them off guard. They just don't. That's what makes me a believer.
They don't
is
realize
that,
how good he is.
Yeah, they just don't know because, you know, for instance,
I'd be a skeptic too, and it's like it's like a hypnotist. A lot of people are skeptics.
Oh,
next thing you know, they're like eating their own asshole.
Yeah,
on stage,
you can say whatever you want. There are people that definitely are more suggestible for hypnosis.
We should get a hypnotist in here.
I don't want to do that because I'm so scared, but I would.
I'm doing it on Friday. I'm doing a hypnosis session on Friday.
So I'll let
you know how it goes. Just self-improvement.
Oh my God, I would totally do that. Because that's not going to be like, pretend like you're ironing, you know, something. And I don't know why I'm picturing ironing something. Because I was actually, there was a joke about that in Someone Special. I once saw, this is when I realized I always thought hypnotists were real, but I'd heard people go, they're not real. I, as a junior, went to a senior after prom party because I was, my friend Taylor.
In high school.
In high school. I went to the senior after prom party. There was a girl.
Obviously prom.
They had a hypnotist come in front of the entire class at like 2 a.m. The hypnotist brought all these students to the front, hypnotized them. At one point, he told them that their chair was on fire.
Oh, no.
Everyone started running around. After the chair was not on fire, a girl had clearly peed her pants out of fear. And she hypnotized, took off her sweatshirt and tied it around her waist because she was so embarrassed, even in the hypnosis. So you can't tell me that shit's not real or those people aren't believing it. This girl did not want to pee her pants. And that's when I knew.
That's how you put out the fire.
Yeah.
It's pretty smart.
Ironing.
Actually. The dead person, though, how insane is it that she became alive? The family must have lost their mind.
And then she's dead.
And then
right away.
Oh, that had to hurt so bad. And then she goes, no, still alive. Like, she knocks it. Oh, God.
Death is so fucking scary.
I mean, she must have been dead for a few days. You don't get to the coffin part without...
But in Peru, they might be doing it like...
Oh, like an immediate coffin?
There might not be a morgue. It might be like a village. I'm not trying to pretend like Peru is like... I know Peru is a very like metropolitan city, but it could be like... Yes. It could be some kind of like...
Was this
a ritual
Lima?
Within a type of church where they don't involve the city morgue, where they just do it in-house. You know, these can be stories like that. I mean, even in America, that happens where I'm sure, like, you know.
They have funerals. Have you seen the rapper that went to the club?
Oh, my God.
Maybe we talked about
there's
it
There's this
here.
One great clip on Reddit all the time where these kids in probably South America, one of their friends who's a soccer star died and they want to have one last game with him. So they kick the, like they have a goal set up and they bring out the coffin and they kick it and it ricochets off the coffin into the net and they all cheer and hug the coffin. It's so sweet and stupid. I loved it.
I wish they made him score on his own goal. You don't know that. Like a lot of soccer players, they'll score on their own goal and then they'll get murdered.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this Colombia guy scored on his own goal during the World Cup.
Oh, that's how that kid died.
Yeah.
They were like, we want him to have one last one that isn't that one. So let's have.
Oh, yeah.
Noah, do we have time for one more story before we go to break?
Sure. Okay, this is a sweet one. A newly adopted puppy takes its first walk with his new family and digs up a treasure worth nearly $8,000 in a park in England.
Whoa.
Much to everyone's surprise, the dog, whose name is Ollie, dug up what appear to be 15 sovereign coins, meaning pieces of gold that could date back as far as 1489. Here, let me show you.
This and that story from yesterday are in common.
Wait, what was the story from yesterday?
The lady that found the...
Oh, yeah, the head.
Yeah.
The bust.
Yeah.
Wow. A little puppy found him.
Good dog.
That's so cute. Yeah, this is why you should adopt, not shop.
Yeah. If you want to become... Maybe if you can find a Bitcoin.
I wonder why the dog was attracted to that scent of the coins.
Because it was in...
I think... I think it's the breed. So the breed is Legato Romagnolo.
Oh.
Oh.
So the,
which stands for metal detector?
Yes, stands for gold digger.
Nice. Dude, have you ever metal detected? It's kind of...
Oh, I used to love it as a kid. It's so rewarding.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like going to Goodwill. You're finding like treasures. Like people who... It's gambling a little bit. People get addicted to it.
You know what's fun? This was in Alaska. No, that's like a humble... I don't know. I feel like...
Alaska does not make me feel like you're bragging.
All right, well,
but you did take a cruise there, right?
Gold panning. It's really fun.
Is that where you take those little like
you get like a bunch? Yeah.
A pan and you sift it.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a fun time. You never find gold. It's already been they've been doing it a while.
Yeah.
You know.
I think if I've ever found anything valuable. Oh, today I was walking the dog, and Marion is insane. If you didn't know, last year in July she got attacked by a German Shepherd, or my parents' neighborhood dog. And was ripped, and she was literally bisected. Like, it was, I can't believe she lived. Actually, a bestie's friend who we met at the show this weekend said, my friend was the woman who did the operation, like, was the vet that took care of, Vet Caldwell, what? I believe her last name is.
Yes, Caldwell.
Caldwell. Dr. Amanda Caldwell, I think is her name. I think I'm fucking up the last name, though. Anyway, Marion almost died, yet she still goes after big dogs. And she's so tiny, and so today... I saw a bunch of cash on the ground outside that diner that we walked by.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, obviously a tip had fallen off the table and I was going to pick it up and put it back on the table or pretend to and then put it in my pocket. But
for sure.
No, I was going to pick it up and put it on the table. And so I walked over to the dollar and I did not, because I was so like money. I didn't see a gigantic dog on the other side of the fence where the people are eating. And Marion almost lost her life again because I was like, oh, a dollar. And so I was so embarrassed that I like went over to this dog where clearly my dog was going to get injured and I didn't see the dog, which was so clear that I was like, but there's cash on the ground. I like exclaimed. I go, well, there's dollars. I like got defensive. I was like, but there's money on the ground. Why don't you clean up your money? Like I was so embarrassed. It's so stupid. So yeah, I sometimes find things. Have you ever found money on the ground? Any good amounts of cash, you too?
I found like a 20 on the ground one time.
Oh, that feels good.
Or, you know, sometimes I do it to myself where I'll find like a 20 in a weird pocket and it feels like $1 million.
I love that.
Oh,
it's
cash.
It's almost worth it to put cash in weird pockets of things
that, for later.
And just don't give them to Goodwill without searching in pockets. But that's another thing at Goodwill. My mom has found so much cash in billfolds, wallets, jackets. Yeah, just from people not cleaning out their pockets before they donate. But generally, people go through pockets before, like the people that put it on the floor. I want to say, though, that... what was I going to say about finding cash on the fucking... Oh, I forgot. It was going to be good, but who cares? Let's take a break and come back with Why Do I Care?
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of seven kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek and then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
All right, we're back. Why do I care?
Why do I care?
So I don't know if you've heard of this, heard about this. Minnie Driver wrote about a pervy commercial audition in her new memoir.
Oh, I did. I read a headline on Daily Mail, but I don't remember it. So repeat it to me.
All right. So 25 years ago, she was in a room with a male director and more than a dozen people from an ad agency. And she received no script for a commercial.
Wait, how many years ago?
25.
25 okay. years ago.
So this is prior to Good Will Hunting. All right.
So the director asked her, "You've seen the movie When Harry Met Sally? You know the scene where she fakes an orgasm? Eat a piece of chocolate and do that." And she responded, "Fake an orgasm?" And he goes, "Yes, unless you fancy having a real one." So she was talking about how, which is similar to what you talk about, how she was just like, well, I'm just going to barge out of here and I'm going to go warn all the women in the audition room, you know, like what they're asking for. But instead,
and they're going to go, "Thanks for the heads up. I'm going to start practicing."
Yeah. Like, but instead, glad you're not doing it. You're way more talented than me. Yeah.
she didn't do anything. Chocolate. Yeah. What she did it.
She did it. Yeah.
Yep. And when they asked her if she could do it again, she said she couldn't. And then
no woman.
They said something condescending, like, "Actually, that's the best bit about being a girl." That you
Right. Well, the thing is that women can do it over and over.
Men are the ones that can.
Okay. Why did she do it if she didn't want to do it? Just kidding, says everyone who hears any story of a woman doing something she doesn't want to do later on. The reason she did it when she didn't want to do it and she knew it was wrong is because you want the role. You also think, because all of these people are signing on that this is a good idea, that maybe you're in the wrong and you're being overly sensitive. And also, it's scary when you're auditioning and you just do things out of kind of a fear. Yes, they're not going to kill you, but just out of a fear they might not like you, all of these things. When I talk on stage about teaching your daughters, if a man takes out his penis, tell the guy to put it away. I say, by the way, no one's going to do that. Your daughter's not going to do it. We can teach women all we want to tell a man who they like, who they're making out with, who takes out their penis, to be like, do something. If they don't want to do it, to tell them to put it away. I can't even do that as a 37-year-old woman who came up with the idea. I'd done it one time. So I know that in those situations, you just can't do the right thing of like, put it away. You hope that we can train women to stand up for themselves, men too, obviously, but it's really hard.
What else happens too, I think, is you see a celebrity who maybe has maybe two good movies under their belt. So everyone's like,
Why would she have to do that? She's famous. She has two movies. You know what
she
I mean?
She didn't at this time, though.
No, no, no.
But yes.
My point is at that time, she's probably even more desperate because she's going on 1,000 auditions.
Right.
So.
You don't contextualize it.
You don't understand the rejection this woman has felt because you saw her famous for a movie.
Meg
you know
Ryan
what I mean?
Came up with that idea for that scene, which if you do know When Harry Met Sally very well, that scene is very out of character for Sally. Sally is like a very prim, proper, doesn't even like to be asked about sex. For her to like do a loud orgasm in the middle of Katz's Deli,
it stands out.
It really does take you out of it for a second. When I watched it, I was like, okay, well, this character would never do that. But there's something really great about the fact that she just came up with it. And I think it actually has done so much good for the world in terms of alerting men to the fact that, yes, we can fake it really well and you wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to do anything for an audition or like a role or something that you didn't expect and you go, oh God, I don't want to do this? Like,
I mean, I think an equivalent to anything like this as a stand-up comedian is when you do a show.
A
bar show for three people. The TV's on. There's a fish tank that's empty.
I just did an interview, Ryan.
Reynolds?
No, it's for a podcast with the Ringer series.
To me, and then you travel an hour for two drink tickets. So that's the equivalent to having a fake orgasm.
Ryan Russillo podcast. It's a very popular podcast.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's
he was really
nice. Big in
sports. Yeah, big, big, big in sports. And he was great. Great interview. But he was asking me questions about that had been submitted from Twitter. And a lot of young, I think, guys asking about stand-up. And like, I go to these bar shows. They're all just comedians. They don't laugh. What's the point of even doing this? Is there another way? Like, what should I do? And I just go, no, there's no other. That's the only fucking way, yeah. Dude.
Or put your shit online and try to grow.
But like,
from there. But
getting good at stand up, yes. you need a live audience, even if they're just jaded comedians who fucking hate you. You need to talk into a microphone when you're nervous. It's what you need to do.
You know, advice for that is that even if it's shitty in the room, if you put some subtitles on it and maybe even you could still use it.
Oh yeah. And most people watch things on mute anyway.
Yeah.
Stand-up clips if they have good subtitles. I've had to do things that I didn't want to do, and I look back and I'm like, oh, why did I do that? And I don't want to promote it because it was so embarrassing. It was sexual. Kissed people I didn't want to kiss. One time I was in an acting class and there was an old man in the acting class who was probably in his 50s, and all of us young girls were in our early 20s. We're in this acting class. There was a scene where we had to kiss him, and we had to practice outside of class all of us, because he was the only guy in the class. And so he was doing the part of the guy, and we all had to do it with him. And separately, we were practicing together as girls over the weekend for this class that was coming up. And they were like, I can't believe we have to kiss him. I don't want to do this. And I was like, we don't have to do this. We are not doing it. And so I was the one on this class on Monday to go, we've decided that we don't want to kiss him for the scene, and it's nothing against you, it's just we don't think it's necessary. And the instructor, who is this gay guy, was like, oh, so if you have a role where you need to audition and this is the scene, you're not going to kiss the actor? And I go, I'm not being paid for this. This isn't a real role. This is an acting class. I don't want to kiss Mark. And I was like, Mark, this literally has nothing to do with you. He was so sad. And then I stood up because all the girls were like, we don't want to kiss him. And then guess who? Every single one of them kissed them except me, because I was the one that spoke up and had to stay true to it, because I argued. It was so awkward. And then they all gave in, and I was the one that didn't kiss him, and my instructor fucking hated me the rest of the time because I wasn't a true actress. And I'm like, no, not doing it.
Dude, that's a wild story. How many girls were in the class?
Probably 6 or 7.
So Mark kissed 6 women.
Tens too, dude. We are dealing with this is a class Paris Hilton has taken, Whitney Cummings. Like, it was the Leslie Kahn method, which is a great method.
Who was your teacher, James Franco?
Oh, it was just like, yeah. No, James Franco isn't gay, I don't think.
Oh, no, but
he definitely
used these acting classes to coerce women to do shit for acting.
Yes.
It's like, I like that commercial for a Mini Driver. It's like, it didn't even have chocolate involved, it was like to sell insurance.
Using I wrote a scene once that my friend was like, we're shooting something tomorrow, will you write a scene to shoot? And I was like, I kind of want to make out with a boy. So I wrote a scene where it was pertinent to what was going on in my life, and there was going to be making out anyway, but I was like, who do I kind of want to make out with, who I knew would be good in this? And I will admit I picked someone that I wanted to make out with. I've talked about this before. I know that's a slimy thing to say. I didn't know it was not a good thing to do. But you can't help that if you want to cast someone that actually you also would want to make out with. And Ben Glebe and I had a fucking fun day of making out. Jesus Christ.
How many girl actresses are Brad Pitt's in the movie? Okay, I want to roll around.
Ben Affleck and Emily Ratajkowski. He put her in Gone Girl. And then Ana de Armas, I think he had a hand in that casting. You just go, who do I want to fucking make out with and maybe start a relationship with? Because we're going to be very intimate on set.
Yeah, no one's like, oh, is it?
To Chris DeSavino there.
No 25-year-old's like, it's Anthony Hopkins?
Let's get to Reddit.
Is he ready? For these lips.
This is your Reddit dump. Noah, you want to start us off? You found something.
Yes. So I think we had maybe like 100 besties share this clip.
Oh, yeah. And you told me don't watch a clip of this thing. Yes. And I didn't see it.
I sent you it before real early on.
So this is something that you talk about. I don't want to talk it up or anything. I just want you to just watch.
Okay. I already hate it. I would never watch this. If I saw a still image of this, I wouldn't watch it.
No, this is wonderful. And I'm going to make you watch this.
Okay, so no one gets hurt?
No one gets hurt.
Nobody gets hurt. This is actually a beautiful thing.
Already...
I don't know if you'll be able to hear the audio, but
No,
matter.
Don't. It's okay, not ready? That kind of video. It really
it's
is.
Not that it's wonderful.
Still, even
and
though
I'll
know people aren't getting hurt, I still don't like it.
Well, the besties asked for this, so
okay, it's okay. Woo! Okay, it's fat men on diving boards.
One guy.
It's one guy. His name is.
And he's very good.
Okay, this guy's not reckless, but I do not like the double jump. I don't like the where you jump and then you have to jump again on it. That's the part I don't like.
So this is Zeke Sanchez, who's a part of the East Valley Dive Club.
Luigi's not liking my Bobby. I don't like it either. Okay. Luigi, come here. Come back. Come on.
Okay, I'll stop sharing.
That
it.
Guy stop. Is first of all, I love that song so freaking much.
The best.
There is some.
What is
there
it?
Must be
what
an ancestor it, thing of it was swim meets. Parents would get drunk after swim meets. Dads would try to show off, and there's something about the first jump, then the jump onto the board after the second jump to get the propulsion that. Even on trampolines, when people do double jumps and spin in the air, I'm so worried they're going to fall back down and hit their head on the like springs on the side. Like, I just don't like seeing people hurt. I hate it.
But have you seen someone hit the back of their head?
I did know my drunk uncle, Michael, once got drunk on my 10th birthday at the Blanford's house, and they had a trampoline, and he slammed his head into the bar on the side. Yeah. And I heard about it. Like, I just, you know.
And remember, Greg Louganis, that was a big thing in our childhood.
Oh,
when he hit the back of his head.
Yeah, so now I don't trust. Yes, I remember that too. I don't trust that's not going to happen to even the best person. And I just get worried of the board snapping and breaking. Like, it just makes me, I don't know what it is. Something in my, I bet you it's historical. You know, like my ancestors, something, some trauma happened with that.
But you'll do a backflip, which is surprising.
Yeah, because I trust myself.
Yeah.
I do get worried on a double jump, though. I do get worried of, like, the running up and going boom, and then boom again. I usually just do a backflip from a standing position into the water. Thank you for that, but also no thank you. No, that guy is very talented, and that song made it less scary. This is so cute, and I know people are not – it's not going to be as cute if you don't show the video. So I'll send that for later because that's a video, and I didn't send it to you, Noah. Okay, this is highly relatable. I sent it to my boyfriend this morning because he struggles with this and I wanted him to feel less alone. This is a tweet from, this is in the subreddit, Me IRL, Me in Real Life. This is from a tweet from Ashraf Rahman 3. Do you all introverts ever open a text and think, I'll reply when I have the energy, and then it's 3 weeks and you have to live with the guilt of being a horrible friend?
Oh my God.
Yes, 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 yes. All you have to do in that scenario is write back to the person that it's been 3 weeks for, 3 months, 3 years, and say, I've said this before, say, the fact that I haven't gotten back to you is a sign that I really care about you because I get back to people when it doesn't mean anything, and I wait for the people that I want to get back to so much because I want to give it the effort that I can and the time I have, and I didn't ever have the time that I thought was adequate to write you back, so I just didn't. I hope you relate to this, but also I hope you don't because it's my constant struggle. I'm so embarrassed. I love you, and can we talk Can we act like this never happened and I'll try again and I'll probably do it again, but I promise you it is not about you. It is all
me. I
have
a question.
Yes.
Because I relate to this so much.
Yes.
What if it's someone that you're not so close with that you would that you can't say that to without lying? Well, that I'd feel so comfortable sharing something so personal, because that is
That's what I would say, because what I would say is that I get that. I get what you're saying of like, that sounds too, that's too much. Here's a way to say it to someone who maybe is, for instance, I owe this executive at HBO a return email. We've gotten, we became friends. I pitched something to her and then we became friends afterwards, writing back emails. She wrote me and I have not read it because I just wanted to give it enough time. She's not someone that I feel comfortable going like, oh, this is an issue I deal with. But I would still write back. I don't care who it is. I would still write back. Nina, I'm so embarrassed I haven't written back yet. Please know that it is because I wanted to write back something that was I knew would take me a substantial amount of time because I care about getting back to you. But the time never, I never got enough time to, it got, what, you know what I say? I go, this, the fact that I haven't gotten back to you is a classic example of when, and because everyone relates to this, you see an email that you're like, oh my God, I got to get back to that, but it's going to take me longer than a minute. So then you let it, so I let it sit. Then of course, emails stack on top of it. And although subconsciously I knew that your email was there, I put it out of sight, out of mind, because that's how my brain deals with things that are, that I really care about. And I'm so sorry. I hope you understand. But here's my response. People love honesty.
Yeah.
Anyone who you might feel like I can't be that honest with, when you break that barrier of sharing something that's a little bit personal, a little bit embarrassing, a little bit, you know, just vulnerable about yourself, people eat it up. It's rare that you find someone that goes, yuck. If anything, they just won't respond to it. But I'll guarantee you it'll make them feel a little seen and a little better. This is actually perfect foray into my next video. And I'm just going to play the clip of it because although I didn't send the video to you, know what? The audio is all you need. This is from TikTok Cringe, which also the subreddit TikTok Cringe, I've realized it's just TikToks that people like. It is not even about cringe, but it's just a good subreddit for all TikToks. And the caption is Nobody Cares. And this is a TikTok that went viral. And it, you know, on TikTok, sometimes people do a prompt and then ask people to respond to it. This one was a girl asking this, and then these are all men answering. So a girl asks a question, men answer. And the headline is Nobody Cares with a smiley face without a mouth. You know that emoji.
Who do you call when you are at your lowest? Who is that one person?
Nobody. I'm a man. No one cares.
Not a single soul. Nobody.
No one. Because I'm all alone.
I think I speak for a lot of people when I say
nobody, I'm a guy, nobody gives a shit.
And at first I thought it was a joke because the music's so saccharine and I thought guys were just like being like, I thought it was just gonna make fun of these guys, but it just goes on and on and on with guys being like, no one cares when a guy feels sad and alone. It made me so sad. And then I get into reading the comments and I thought people would go, this is overdrawn, this is overdone. It made me so sad because the comments are all about normalizing talking about your feelings between men, you know, and then it's just my homies, my dad, my brother. There's someone that like kind of shares something, but most of the comments are pretty sad how we got here, man. Fuck this. Men aren't real men if they have emotions. Bullshit. Toxic masculinity is a hell of a drug. Toxic masculinity got shit done for a very, very long time. It got passed down from generation to generation as a way to get shit done. We're the first generation to acknowledge its toxicity. We're still not entirely sure how to function without it. Until then, I'll run miles and do push-ups until I figure out how to cope. What, you are an emotional man, Andrew. We've heard you call Ari and say I love you, and Ari easily said I love you back, not thinking it was a prank even. He thought you might be taking your own life, but he was open to it, didn't shame you. Do you think this is a as big of a problem as this?
Yeah, I think a lot of times men complaining gets pushed off as, oh, just fucking man up. You hear that a lot. Just fucking man up, dude. Stop being a pussy and man up.
Yeah.
How are you complaining about fucking,
you know, and it could be the smaller it is, the more they'll be like, man up.
Yeah.
So, oh, your mom died? Man up. No, no. But
yeah.
So I think what happened was.
Yeah, it's almost like it has to be your mom died to get any fucking sympathy.
Yeah, it has to be something extreme.
Can't be upset about, like, I just feel lonely.
Yes.
Or I just, you know, women, we can be. There's a stand up clip I saw where a guy was like, women can just be crazy and we let it happen. And men, like, you can't be a man that's like, these are my crystals. Like,
yeah.
It was a really good bit. It got a little weird at the end, but like I thought it was a good point.
I think, I don't know, a lot of it just has to do with getting older and maturing. There's some friends that I never would have went to that I go to now.
Yeah.
That, and we're like, I don't know, it's weird. Like my buddy Rusty, like we'll talk about, you know, relationship stuff and we'll send each other different articles or where I would never have gone to Rusty before in my 20s, or especially as a teenager, and been like, hey man, I'm having a hard time with my parents' divorce. You know, like it just wouldn't have come up. You just, it would feel so. So I get that. I hopefully you grow out of that and you find a friend that is as emotional as you and you open yourself up to like a different friend group. I think that helps.
I think that I think we need to rebrand being emotional as being. Doing the hard thing, because it's really hard for men to be emotional. It's harder than a CrossFit class, you know, like, and men want to do difficult things to prove their manliness. Like if we brand being emotional as like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. That is so impressive, because it does come easy to us women.
Yeah.
Easier. And we don't get impressed by men who share their feelings. We're like, finally, because we don't relate to being told constantly that our feelings don't matter, that we shouldn't have them. So we judge men like, Just be sad, cry. And like, it's, I see in my own relationships with men, when they do share things, they feel incredibly emasculated, incredibly unsexy. Like it's, they feel like, you know, quote unquote gay, you know, like it's so, it makes them feel like women. And it just isn't a gender thing. It's just, everyone has feelings. And I don't know. I just get so horny for men who are emotional. And I think it's changing. I think if we brand men being emotional as hot, and if we keep perpetuating that, it will get through, because we're all motivated by what's going to make us likable and fuckable.
Is it emotional or is it more communicative?
Yeah, communicative. About feelings. I mean, when I heard my boyfriend say about an, you know, therapy, that it was the first time he had ever said his thoughts, some of his thoughts, these thoughts that he's been having out loud, like said them audibly.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. I've never had a thought I didn't say out loud. I've never kept anything in. There is something so important about not, your mind is a fucking mess, dude. Like your thoughts are going 1,000 miles a second. They're all over the place. They look like a Picasso painting. There's no sense in there. When you are forced to verbalize your feelings or write them down, you are able to release them, make sense of them. It's very underrated just talking what you're thinking. And when I heard Chris say that it was the first time he had ever done that, man, he's not alone. He was like, it actually really helps to like say these things that I think about when I'm on my bike or when I'm, you know, on the treadmill, you know, driving. I've never said them out loud. I've thought them. I just didn't know I needed to.
Yeah, a lot of times you don't know how to verbalize it, or you're afraid to verbalize it because it could come off so dark and angry,
or
because you've been holding
you.
On to these things so long.
Oh, you don't know. It might spin out of control.
Yeah, and you just you're afraid of your own thoughts.
Oh, I relate to that.
And so you need to go to therapy, because that's a safe place to say something. Or, yeah.
Dude, therapy's so great.
You see so many TikToks where it's like guys, well, you know, final thought. I don't know if you want me to say.
Final
but,
thought.
Where guys will go, she left me, and now look at my body. And, like, that's where it goes. Instead of, like, having one honest conversation, it's 7 months of working out. And then you learn that your pecs aren't going to help your brain.
What do you do if you're a man out there who, I'm sure that there are men are like, yeah, okay, I'm willing to talk, but who do I talk to? I can't afford, let's say you can't afford therapy. What if you just want a friend to be able to confide in?
Well, if you listen to his pod, I'm a guy that's open. Send me. You can send me a message and I'll fucking read it.
He'll never look and see what you look like. Yeah, he'll never. When people send us messages that are heartfelt and all these things, I don't connect. A lot of the girls that I DM them with regularly that are besties, like, they'll just send me things that are funny or just comment about something that happened in their day. And, you know, sometimes I get back to them, sometimes I don't. It's always about if I'm busy or not, or if, you know, my phone's in my hand. I meet them at these shows and I go, you're the girl that, like, I didn't look into what you look like. I'm not, like, judging you. Mm-hmm. You just get the information. It's such a great way to communicate. And yeah, that's a really nice offer. If you're a guy out there that has some feelings, write Andrew a paragraph. He will.
Yeah, I've had people, like, write me about, you know, giving up drinking, getting on antidepressants, getting off antidepressants.
Having a girl who talks over you constantly and belittles you on a podcast for the first 2 years.
Look.
One year.
No, well.
The other day you said at a meet and greet, you were like, someone gave you some attitude and you're like, just because she treats me like shit doesn't mean you do. Yeah. And I was like, do I still treat you like shit? I mean, like, sometimes it's
a joke that I mean, and it's honest.
But I used to be way worse.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, for sure.
I've made an effort to be
kinder. And I've made an effort to, like I acknowledge everything. And, like,
I'm not perfect, though. Yes.
No one is, dude. And I'm whatever.
But I just wanted to make sure
it
wasn't
still. You know what I hate? I hate when people, they'll, you know, what happens is like, you hear this podcast with us, which is an hour long. And
some
they'll
days,
be
on good days.
Yeah, yeah. Which, and then other days it's an hour and 50 minutes and we never get to the news. But you have an idea of what our relationship and friendship is. And we're very open about. But what they don't see is, like, the other 23 hours where you're way worse. No. That's a stupid joke. But, like, where you're way, where it's honestly, like, we have some of the best times ever. And there's, like, there's no, like, above and beyond.
We're not trying to, like, zing each other constantly.
Yeah, it's just, like, and so, I don't know, and this sounds like I'm, like, a victim being like, no, you don't get it. No, but seriously, like, there's a beauty to our friendship that I think sometimes gets lost in, like, comebacks or, like, little things you see, and then they stick to those things, and it's, like, you're not.
Yes.
Fucking.
There's truth. There's some truth to it. It isn't a significant hour of our lives, and we are very honest on here, but it is heightened. It is not a complete representation of us, but it is the most honest one that I have put out there.
For sure.
Aside from the reality show, I have to say, if you watched the third episode?
I haven't seen the third episode.
Yes. You're really funny in it. You have a really good, you have some really good lines, and it's when we're vintage clothing shopping.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And you have some really good lines elsewhere. I forgot them now, but they were really, really funny.
I was going to watch tonight with Brenna, actually.
And there's a part of the part where we are just disgusted touching each other's feet. There's the part where we're doing the podcast and you ask me if, you say a really funny thing. You're asking me about, like, if in the metaverse, will I age? Like, because I'm talking about in the future, and I'm like, we're going to be, it's water world. It's like, you know, I'm going to be living. I forget what I said. I said something very dark, and you were like, in the metaverse, are you going to be 47 in the metaverse? Because I go, in 10 years, I'm going to be 47. You go, in the metaverse, are you going to be 47? I go, God, no. But that was a really funny line from you. And, but I, like, really had, like, a hard time with the show last night because I watched it, and then it went right to Summer House afterwards on my, like, I was watching it on, I guess, YouTube TV, and it just knew that I needed to watch Summer House afterwards. And boy, those girls are really pretty, and they look good in almost every scene. And I, you know, prided myself on not trying to look good in every scene. I just did not wear that much makeup. I kind of phoned it in. And there are scenes where I'm like, I don't know, I was just having a bad... because I'm like, I'm older than that now. Like, I look old in that scene and nothing's gotten better. And just having, like, why does my hair look like an old witch's? Like, just having or being like, why did you not say something funny there? Like, there was an opportunity. I could tell for so much of it, I was so tired and maybe in a bad mood. And I was trying not to come across as a bitch. But some scenes I'm like, you're such a fucking bitch. Like, all your little faces. Like, it's interesting to watch yourself and go, yikes.
I mean, I
need to be better.
Again, though, leaning into that over leaning into this fake facade that you're showing the people your best possible self.
Yeah.
I would lean into the dirty, the ugly.
I have plans for second season. I want more. Our show right now is towing the line of, like, half, like, bubbly and just, like, fun and, like, very reality show, and then half like, whoa, she looks like shit in the scene. Like, this is real. It looks like almost intervention. Like, I want it to be more real. I want to have more like drama, because there was drama going on at the time of like getting into like just being like exhausted and being like, I don't want to be here today. And like, I just want a little bit more of that side of myself, because it looks like I'm just like, sometimes in scenes I look like I need to cry, and it's like, just let it out, girl. Like, it's okay. But sometimes the scene was like, no, you're talking about your sister's party. Like, it's not a time for you to cry. And I'm like, yes, I want to though. Like, I want, you know, when you're making a show, you're really just like trying to figure out along the way, what is this? What's the tone? You have no idea what it's going to look like. And I think second season, I have a goal to make it a little bit more like, what is actually going on right now? Don't try to keep this in. Be a man. Yeah. Share your feelings.
Yeah, man up and cry like a bitch.
Oh, that's the new.
That's a pretty good line, actually. Man up and cry like a bitch.
That's a good shirt for you.
So I say this is what we do. We find a house. We all
I would love to do that.
I feel like though, like,
and I need
our
to start
show
drinking again for entertainment.
Yes, purposes. You got to drink. You got to fight. You got to date other people.
Yes,
and we got to fucking stab a guy.
I gotta,
and you gotta look really good in Balenciaga while doing it, or whatever.
Yeah, I gotta get a car accident and then wake up and then after I died. We need drama.
In Peru.
I need to meet Tyler Henry. Bring him on for an episode. God damn it! I want a second season, please. Fuck, will you watch my show? It's not because I'm not asking this because the ratings are bad. They're actually really good, but they need to be like undeniably good in TV now. So if you are out there and could watch or encourage your friends to watch, you know, after the premiere numbers start to dwindle because premieres like has the most push and now press is dying down, I'd love if you did an extra push for your friends out there to watch the show. Thank you so much. Don't be kid. Great episode. A lot accomplished today. I'm about to go to couples therapy. I'm very excited for it.
Oh, boy.
This was a good little amuse-bouche for that. Got my feelings coming out already. I'm bleeding.
I didn't know if you went yet. I'm kind of excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited to go, too. I love couples therapy. It's so good. Okay. Don't be ca. And Jack.
Couple therapy.
No.
I've given up, man.
All right.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.